An inspirational story, the Clint Eastwood-directed movie Invictus also offers useful examples of physics concepts and cognitive science. In his review, Jacob Lickenstaff tells us why.
I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Today, President Mandela takes office.
Last winter, Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon starred in the Clint Eastwood-directed Invictus, which tells the true story of the South African rugby team's surprise win at the 1995 Rugby World Cup. Freeman plays Nelson Mandela, the first president of South Africa elected after the end of apartheid, and Damon plays Francois Pienaar, the captain of the national rugby team. There's some good physics in the play of rugby, and cognitive science which teachers should be aware of in their classrooms. Invictus also provides an excellent opportunity for science teachers to team up with social studies or history teachers to address the end of apartheid in South Africa. The film opens with Mandela's 1990 release from prison and quickly sketches his election as president in 1994. The end of apartheid also ended the ban on South African teams participating in international sports competitions. South Africa was even selected to host the 1995 Rugby World Cup. Now, under apartheid, rugby was typically played by the white minority, while black South Africans played soccer, and would even root against the national rugby team, the Springboks. In Invictus, President Mandela hopes a strong performance by the Springboks in the World Cup will help to bring the country together under their new national flag.
This rugby is a political calculation.
It is a human calculation.
According to the experts, we'll reach the quarterfinals and no further.
According to the experts, you and I should still be in jail.
The storybook ending of the film would be unbelievable if we didn't go into it knowing it really happened. The South African team beat the odds and won the World Cup final over New Zealand in overtime. President Mandela presented the trophy to Francois Pienaar in front of tens of thousands of fans in one of the most memorable moments in modern international sports. Before I address the application of Newton's laws to rugby, I have to explain a little bit about the sport. Now, when play stops due to a minor infraction, one way to restart the game is in a scrum. This is probably the one part of rugby most Americans are somewhat familiar with. Eight players from each side line up facing each other and loop their arms across each other's shoulders. The ball is placed on the ground in the middle, and each team tries to push the others back until a player is able to hook the ball with his feet and kick it back out of the scrum. Though there are 16 large, strong players pushing in each direction, the scrum often barely moves. How can that make sense, given the forces involved? Well, let's look at a scrum in the 1995 World Cup final between South Africa, known as the Springboks, and New Zealand, known as the All Blacks. A common misunderstanding of the situation is to argue that the scrum does not move because the force of the All Blacks on the Springboks is equal to the force of the Springboks on the All Blacks. Actually, Newton's third law says that that statement is always true, no matter how the scrum is moving. Now, one way of looking at Newton's third law is to see that it requires there to be two objects involved in any interaction. If you cannot find two objects, there's no force involved. So, what determines the way the scrum moves? Well, as strange as it may sound, the force the All Blacks put on the ground compared to the force the Springboks put on the ground is the key. Whoever can push hardest against the ground will be pushed forward by the ground and will move the scrum. Imagine one team forgot their cleats and they have to wear leather-soled shoes on the field. The slippery soles mean the team cannot push against the ground very effectively. The other team with cleats can push very hard on the ground. The cleat-wearing team will win every scrum. So what strategies work to help your team push harder on the ground than your opponent? Well, wearing cleats is a big help since they dig into the ground and aid in traction. Getting lower than your opponent is important. If you can push up a little bit, that will tend to lift their feet off the ground, decreasing their traction. And this principle is used in American football as well, where linemen try to stay low and keep their footing. Finally, the more massive your players, the larger the frictional force between the ground and their shoes will be. This is one reason that the players in the scrum are usually the largest members of each team. In an early scene in the movie, President Mandela asks Pienaar about getting people to perform beyond what they think they are capable of.
Tell me, Francois, how do we inspire ourselves to greatness when nothing less will do? How do we inspire everyone around us?
Both men agree that leading by example is powerful, but to maximize potential, people must be inspired and believe in themselves. So teachers who communicate high expectations and inspire students to work toward their full potential can get better results than teachers with low expectations. There's also a large and growing body of literature in cognitive science and psychology indicating that expectations affect human performance in academic subjects. One aspect of this is called stereotype threat. If students are told before an exam that the test is particularly accurate at showing the different science abilities of male and female students, the scores of women will be lower than if no such statement is made, and it doesn't matter whether that test is actually effective at doing this or not. Women know our culture expects them to be bad at math and science. When reminded of this, their performance is negatively affected. It seems that distracting self-talk starts in the minds of people in this threat condition, sapping cognitive resources needed for the exam. Science teachers should consider teaming with a colleague in history or social studies to show Invictus, and then use the film to address Newton's third law and some of the psychology of human performance.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
Do you hear? Listen to your country. This is it. This is our destiny.